Hello, folks. Welcome to Movie Moan on ThinkMcFlyThink.com. Always with you is me, Jamie Williams, co-owner and operator of the site, as well as my good friend, Mr. Phil G. Say hello, Phil.
Let's make this snappy, Williams. I'm wasting good Resident Evil 5 playing time here.
How long have you had that game, sir? Because I asked because he just mentioned to me a few minutes ago about how he's, like, addicted to that. That's his new crack. So I'm curious, you know, how long have you been on that game?
Well, I got it on Thursday night. The street date for the game wasn't Friday, but I pre-ordered it through Play.com. I get it on Thursday night. I'm like, I got it first, bitches! No, I've been playing it in moderation until today. And then all of a sudden, because it's Sunday, day of rest, I've been shooting African zombies all day long, and it's just...
Well, thank God.
...friggin' addictive. So, actually, thank God for this show, because at least it gives me a chance to communicate with human beings. Otherwise, I'd still be doing it.
You'd still be hunting...
shouting at anyone who tries to contact me.
You would still be hunting zombies and shit. And, you know, that's a good thing, you know, because, I mean, if there's anything we learned from the George Romero films is that zombies will come back from the dead, and people will take over shopping malls and, you know, loot everything in sight and, you know, just crazy shit and whatnot. So we might as well get prepared.
These guys that I'm shooting, they're not zombies in this one. They just have a parasite in them, which
I thought it was going to be like that Simpsons joke from the Halloween special where, like, you know, Homer sees the zombie Flanders and he shoots him down and, you know, Bart goes, Dad.
He's a zombie?
Yeah, Dad, you just killed the zombie Flanders. He was a zombie?
It's not quite like that.
Yeah, but
anyway,
it was funny.
This is Game Chat.
That's okay. We can chalk games. I will accept that. That is fine by me. I don't know if anyone else cares, but I mean, I think that's what makes these kind of podcasts distinguishable and whatnot, is where you talk about your little bullshits and stuff. I don't see bullshit as in, like, nobody cares. I just see bullshit as in, like, just, you know, just, you know, the stuff you dig and whatnot. I'm all for that.
You know what it is?
No, tell me.
Do you know what it is? Well, I've been a huge fan of the series, and I've been following it from installment to installment, and it's a, you know, it's a continuing story with plot twists and whatnot, and I've stayed completely spoiler-free on this, and it's like, now I've got to get to the end before anybody accidentally spoils it to me. Like, now I understand why Harry Potter fans read the new book in a single evening, because otherwise some motherfucker's going to spoil it for them, and they want to find out the twist for themselves. And the same way with this game, you know, no one's going to spoil it for me, I'm going to find it out for myself. And
there
I've got
go.
To finish it
I'm the,
now.
Well, I mean, the,
does.
You know, with Potter, I mean, I kind of know the basics of what's going to happen. And the, you know, like, I know, well, I mean, I knew that in the last one, what was the character's name? Sirius Black. I knew he bit it. Like, I knew that was pretty much, I knew he died. And that's all I knew. And I know in this one, this.
Do you know who the Half-Blood Prince is?
No clue. I don't know. I know that you can tell me. I don't care. I know that Dumbledore bites it at the end of this new one. And that's all I know so far.
Oh, you're going to get some nasty emails.
Why?
From some arrogant people. They're just waiting to say, put up a spoiler warning, you stupid gay.
Stupid gay. That's about right. You gay faggot. And it's like, well, faggot is a derogatory towards gay people, so why do you say gay faggot? You know, it's like you're, well, obviously, you know, if you're calling someone a faggot, you're an idiot anyway. So it's like, why am I distilling logic on someone who is going to, you know, reduce themselves to being a homophobe? That's just
me. Sounds like Jamie's had these kind of emails before.
Oh, actually, I haven't. It's just like, you know, eh, whatever. To each their own, I say. As long as they're not bothering me. But anyway, but yeah, as Phil said, enough of that kind of stuff. This is Movie Moan, not Video Game Moan. I'm sure that'll be the spinoff later, but for now, it's Movie Moan. So getting to the film news, Oh, yeah, go ahead. No, I was going to say weekend box office, but no, we know what Phil wants to talk about, so you go ahead. You start this one off, sir.
Well, we got so carried away with Watchmen and the trailer talk, understandable, last week. We've been holding off on discussing something, folks, and now it seems appropriate to discuss it, even though it's a little bit after the fact. Basically, the state of things in the last couple of weeks, with all of the furore about whether Mickey Rourke's going to be in Iron Man 2, is Emily Blunt out, and it turned out she was, is there a script even been written for Iron Man 2, when's it shooting, it's supposed to be out first week of May next year, Thor's supposed to be out next July. We haven't heard a single casting decision. They're still in pre-production. Rooks. We heard barely anything. This insane plan to get Captain America out a month before the Avengers and have them sort of this, like, two movies back to back, despite the fact that Joe Johnston, who's been hired as the director for Captain America, will only be directing Captain America, if indeed Captain America does get made, and I sincerely hope it does. Blah, 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 blah. I was willing to say, folks, I was willing to go on the record, and you might not believe me because it's after the fact, which is fair enough, I don't blame you, that Iron Man 2 and Thor were not going to hit us for 2010. It just seemed like it was too late. Like, it just was not going to happen. Well, lots of things have happened in the last week, and I have to eat crow about one of them. Iron Man 2 is moving full steam ahead. Mickey Rourke will be in it, even though it's not been officially confirmed, I don't think, by Favreau himself, but they're just finalising the contract. He's in it. Scarlett Johansson's in it as the Black Widow. They're shooting next month. There's a picture that's been taken of Favreau with a set under construction. So I guess, so I guess they're shooting next week. Iron Man 2 will hit us next year, 2010. But Thor has been delayed to 2011. I was right. I was right.
Right.
And I'm going to gloat for a second bit.
Well,
Jamie, you tell us the rest. So what was the rest of the announcement?
Well, they're basically trying to have everything build up to the Avengers, which we kind of knew that anyway. So now, Thor has been delayed a full year. It will go from July 2010 to now, what is it going to be? June 2011, I think. Something like that. Captain America was going to be May of 2011. That's been pushed back only slightly, not about a month or two, to now July of 2011. Actually, the week after Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2 opens, which I think
might be a mistake.
Yeah, I think that's retarded, to put it lightly. But I mean, they might move it around. I don't think these are definite. There's a chance some of this will change. Spider-Man 4 has been announced for a May 2011 release. That'll open up in the summer. Yeah, I know. Oh, good. And I roll my eyes at the thought of another Spider-Man film. But and of course, Avengers is now being pushed back to May of 2012, which, you know, Phil talked about. He figured Thor would be pushed back. I knew Avengers was going to be pushed back. And I think everyone knew, not just me. I think Phil assumed it was going to be pushed back. I think Peter assumed it as well. I would bet that a number of our webmaster friends and shit, I bet they figured, oh, that'll end up moving. That's like the least shocking part of it. I was surprised by the Thor news, though. So Avengers is now coming out May 2012. You know, Marvel's getting their shit together, man. Although, again, there's a chance this could still change. I wouldn't be surprised if they end up tweaking it a little bit more. You know, like, here's what I would do. Instead of doing, like, Captain America and Thor and Spider-Man in the same summer, I would have, obviously, since Spider-Man 4 is Sony, Marvel's not as involved with that. You can't do anything about that. I'd probably keep Captain America for the summer and put it out 4th of July. I would move Thor to Christmas and then keep Avengers where it is. So there you have like a six-month little schedule. Like every 6 months a Marvel movie comes out that all leads to Avengers. That's what I would do. But obviously I'm not running Marvel, so that fucking doesn't matter.
No, that's a great plan. That's a great plan. If I may put on the Mr. Spock ears for a second.
By all means.
I just was using simple logic.
Me too.
The fact is they are creating what I think is wonderful, something we've all been dreaming of, a cohesive film universe where all of these films coexist in the same universe, which is fantastic. But if it's all building up like building blocks to an Avengers movie where all of these characters have their solo movie and then they all become a part of this team, you cannot, with the insane amount of prep it's going to take just on an Avengers movie, you cannot possibly, unless one writer is writing all of these films,
which isn't happening,
which is not the case, you can't do that because, you know, the person who's writing the Avengers movie, he'd need to have all of the scripts on his desk right now to make a 2011 release. Of course, with films like these, the scripts are only a blueprint. Things change, plot twists change, they can change the ending, do whatever. Things which can dramatically alter the next film. And it just doesn't make sense at all. So I'm glad.
It did make sense to me because so much, like, I knew Iron Man was staying. It was going to stay where it was. There was no way it wasn't because they made too much money off the first movie, and they're going to make even more on the second one, no doubt about it. But the thing is, though, Captain America and Thor, Avengers is heavily dependent on how Captain America and Thor work out in terms of casting, in terms of how well it does theatrically, how it's received by the fans and not so much critics, but by the fans. There was not enough time to realistically pull off Avengers with the schedules the way they were for the other two films. I just didn't believe that. So them moving Avengers was, again, using logic, connecting the dots kind of mindset. That's how I figured it out. We'll see if it happens. I could see them change this again somewhat. But they're getting their shit together, man. You got to give them props. I mean, it's, all power to them.
Here's the thing also that I never understood. I'm going to use a film which is also coming out in 2010 as a case study, Prince of Persia.
Yes.
Which might have a chance of being the first good video game adaptation.
Yeah.
It could do it. That film was supposed to come out this summer,
yes,
2009. It's been shot, it's in the can, and it was delayed for a whole year. Believe it or not, folks, not because the film is bad and they need time to change it, although it might still be bad, but that's not the reason they delayed it. It was because it's a Jerry Bruckheimer production. A previous Jerry Bruckheimer and Disney production was Pirates of the Caribbean 3, which was in such a rush to meet this ridiculous release date that they were flying by the seat of their pants to get it finished. And when you have nothing drives up the price of a Hollywood blockbuster like paying overtime, ridiculous amounts of overtime, to get the top special effects house, ILM,
right,
to get a ridiculous amount of shots done on a film to meet a ridiculous release
date.
They
were doing 24-hour shifts on platinum overtime.
Exactly.
That's why it exceeded $300 million. They're willing to admit it was $300 million, which means it cost even more to make. Which is just, that tells you something right there, folks.
And in the world we're living in right now, as we've seen, studios are finally woken up from this madness and realized we can't let this kind of thing happen again. And Disney decided, rather than end up in a kind of post-production crunch on Prince of Persia, which will be a special effects heavy movie, they moved it a whole year so that special effects people can work on normal shifts and they can get the special effects done on time, they can have previews, and they can actually save money, all because they had the balls not to stick to some ridiculously set mandate release date, which was probably set before the movie even started filming.
Not uncommon.
Same thing with these Marvel movies. It's all about, for all their talk about economizing by not paying A-name actors ridiculous salaries to be in these movies, which is fair enough, I can respect that. At the same time, you're going to put Iron Man in this ridiculous 1st of May or whatever, 1st week of May release date. I'm not convinced the movie's going to be on this comfortable schedule. They are still going to be flying by the seat of their
pants. Well, they've admitted that.
Get that film done.
They've admitted that.
Drive the cost up.
Well, they've admitted that, though. Favreau, there's a rumor that went along with this that Nicole News got that basically said that one of the reasons why Avengers has been delayed is because Favreau wants to get first dibs at possibly directing it. And he basically said if they had it for 2011, he said there's no way I could realistically do it. And he said one of the reasons why he agreed to do Iron Man in this very, as you say, you know, off the seat of his pants kind of production schedule is so he could get first dibs at Avengers. So they pushed it back. That's the rumor. That's what they heard. I believe that, actually, because Favreau's name has been mentioned before for Avengers. Will he ultimately direct it? I have no idea. But, of course, there's also the issue of Iron Man 3, which they've, you know, Downey, although there's no script for it, Downey is signed up for an Iron Man 3. And, you know, as Chud broke as well, that there are going to be a number of actors who are going to sign these crazy 8-9 picture deals to, you know, show up in each other's films. So, you know, Sam Jackson was the first, and now we'll see who else will join the ranks of old Sam.
I am excited about Iron Man 2, though. I've got to say, I mean, if it's going to be clearly they're going to have, they've said Rourke is a Russian villain. They haven't quite confirmed who he is. Some are saying he's the Crimson Dynamo.
I would
some
assume it's him.
He's
Whiplash.
Whiplash, yeah, funny
which,
name.
Yeah, I know. Insert joke here.
A guy called Whiplash as well. I remember.
It's even worse for He-Man to have a villain called Whiplash.
I know.
Whiplash, you know.
I'm sorry. And some are saying he might be.
Well, it's funny that also it was Deadline Hollywood Daily. Nikki Finke, or I think it's Nikki Fink. Sorry if I'm mispronouncing your last name. She was saying that Rourke was also being considered to play one of the villain in Spider-Man 4, which of course begs the question, you know, well, then who's the villain in Spider-Man 4? You know, if it's not, you know,
he could actually play quite a few of them.
I know it's that doesn't
Church. He's got that kind of weird look.
He does, but like, you know, Church, it was pretty.
I'd love to see him play Kraven.
I don't think it's. Well, that's all right. That's something.
I'm just kidding.
Oh, no, you're not kidding. You say something like that. We know you're not joking.
I know. So, yeah, it's true. Nerdgasm.
No, but exactly. But I don't think it's Kraven. I don't think Kraven doesn't really fit within the sort of verisimilitude of what Raimi has set up with the other three flicks. Granted, he shit on it by, you know, the third film, but still, you know, I don't know. Kraven doesn't really fit within that logic. I would say he's probably more along the lines of, like, Scorpius, you know, or somebody.
Scorpion.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. Maybe he's the
I always imagined Scorpion as an agile dude.
I don't know, man. You know? He could be anybody. He could be a number of people. Fuck, he could be Carnage. Who knows? I mean, like, you just... Hmm. Yeah, I mean, because, I mean, let's be fair here. Topher Grace looked nothing like Eddie Brock in the comic books.
Yeah,
actually, Mickey Rourke looks more like Eddie Brock in the comic books, and yet, you know, they might tweak it around. I don't care about Spider-Man 4, though.
No.
I really don't. I'm just like, whatever. You know, I think a lot of people don't care about it. That franchise is going to have to really – is going to win – it's going to have to win people back, essentially. There's just no toys around it. That people
it
really
out,
hated that third
– 2011. If it does come out for 2011,
yeah.
I think they're going to be really shocked when they see the polls. You know, I'm sure they do take these polls with the regular people.
Oh, they
regular.
Do.
Man on the street, which film are you most looking forward to seeing with the males and the females? Of course, I reckon most of them are going to say Harry Potter. I'm sure but plenty of the red-blooded males will probably say whatever Marvel movie is coming out. I think there's a couple of other great movies coming out as well. But Spider-Man 4 is going to be way down the list.
Yeah, you heard it here, folks. Let's hear. I mean, the last rumor we heard, I think it was Hollywood Reporter, did say, guys, Raimi's coming back, Toby's coming back, Dunst is coming back. So we know there's a writer on it. They've gone through two writers, or they've actually gone through like three writers, I think now. But whatever, we'll see what happens. So speaking of Sam Raimi, since we're on the topic, we'll segue. The trailer for his new horror film, Drag Me to Hell, was released earlier this week. And Phil, did you take a look at it?
I have not. Sorry, I'm not interested.
Phil, really? Wow. See, I'll tell you why I'm interested in this. Because looking at that trailer, it's very clear Sam Raimi has got his juice back. Because that was the problem with Spider-Man 3, was it was very clear everybody was bored. Seeing the trailer for this flick, it's clear Raimi's got – he's back on his game. You know, it's a fun-looking horror film. They're putting it out at the end of May, which I was initially very hesitant about until someone pointed out to me very accurately and said, hey, dude, last summer The Strangers came out at the end of May, and that was a very successful film. 1408 came out the summer before that and was a hit. So, not as worried about the box office prospects of the film as I was previously. Looks fun. I can't wait to see it, man. It looks like a blast. It's Sam Raimi being Sam Raimi, like the old cult... you know, quirky horror filmmaker. I love the fact that he's going back to that. He needs to get away from these goddamn $300 million tentpole films, at least for one movie. Which, again, that's why I like Nolan so much. It's like, I mean, for many reasons why we're fans of Nolan, but he's smart enough to realize I can't just do Batman upon Batman upon Batman films. I have to take a break between them, do something that doesn't involve the goddamn, you know, cape and cowl, you know?
Well... you've actually made me realize something. We're talking about how people aren't that excited about Spider-Man 4, but if this movie is as great as as it, you know, you hope it will be, and as, you know, you seem to be getting very excited about it, then I guess it's going to restore a lot of faith in him, and maybe the anticipation will go up a bit, albeit cautiously, because we've still been burned by the third one.
I don't know. I don't know if that's necessarily true, because you think about it, like, you know, you look at someone like Bryan Singer, who, you know, decided not to do the Superman sequel after the last film and said, I'm going to do Valkyrie next. And, you know, that film was very successful. Got everyone really liked it, and everyone felt he's back on his game. But I don't hear people saying, okay, great, now I want to see him do the Superman sequel now. It's like everyone seems to agree. It's like, let's get someone else to do the Superman sequel. Let's not get Brian to do it. I'd be game for it, but realistically, obviously, it's not happening. But so I don't know if that's necessarily true, man. Just to give you a little point counterpoint, I'm not shitting on your logic, because that's a good point. It is, but I can't see it that way.
Fair enough.
Fair enough.
Wanted to mention the box office, did you?
Well, just real quickly, I mean, like, getting the overall number, since we do these shows on Sunday.
Oh, just a second. Wait a second. You need music. It's time for Jamie's Gloat. It's Jamie's Gloat.
I don't want
to hear it. It is Jamie's Gloat.
I'm not gloating, because I don't... See, this is one that will get me killed by people. I'm not married yet, man. I'd like to be. I'd like to have some children before I get killed, at least for my, you know, saying shit out loud. It's going to get me in trouble. Anyway, the point being that this weekend's box office numbers have come in. Number one movie of the weekend was, not surprisingly, Race to Witch Mountain, number one.
No!
Surprise, though, for me, it made $25 million. I figured it would do 30, so it shows how much I know. What I did know, and what Phil knew, and what a number of other people knew, was that how badly Watchmen was going to drop this weekend. And it dropped to number two with $18 million, dropping 67% from last weekend. So its total box office now is, domestically speaking, it's $86 million. I think it's like $115 million worldwide after 2 weeks. Not that good. It's actually pretty bad. It's not even not that good. It's bad, actually. It just brings the question, what now for Watchmen? You know, I mean, how much longer, what does it get to? How many, you know, does this delay all the DVD releases that they were talking up 2 weeks ago leading up to the release? At this point, it looks like Watchmen's probably going to hit like 115 at the most. Like, this thing is, man, I hate the fact that this movie is going to make less than the goddamn Fantastic Four films. That kills me. It does.
I never thought about it like that.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty, you know, even Hulk, even the Ang Lee Hulk, which I do like, I can accept the fact that Watchmen's going to do around the same, something like that, but God, that's so bad. Man, that's,
I think even League of Extraordinary Gentlemen made a little bit of money.
It didn't break $100 million domestically, I can tell you that. It made like 60, I think, domestically. Because I remember Pirates ate it alive. They came out the same weekend. Like, they opened on a Friday, they had a three-day weekend, and then Pirates had a five-day weekend. So they had 2 days, you know, in advance to build up word of mouth, and that made, I think it was like $70 million in 5 days and just played the entire summer. That was in the middle of July, so... it's funny how I remember this shit, but I do remember, you know, when that flick came
out. Look, I bet you anything. I bet you dollars to donuts.
Okay.
Any filmmaker who was at any time attached to Watchmen, they knew this film wasn't going to be a blockbuster hit. They just wanted to get it made because
right.
It's Watchmen and it deserves to be made into
it's a great story.
A film. And unfortunately, it's not a film that can be made on the cheap. It needed to be made with a decent budget. It was. It was made, I think, for the right amount of money that it would take to tell that story. Not that I know that much about what it takes to budget a movie. But
at least you're admitting that. A lot of people won't, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
A lot of people act like they're fucking know-it-alls, and it's like, get the fuck out of here. You have no idea, you know.
But, you know, it's not that sad. I mean, it's out. It was a good movie. You loved it. I liked it.
I
mean, that's what's important.
When they announced it, I figured it was going to be like Blade Runner, and now I'm hearing the Blade Runner comparisons everywhere where it makes no money. It's a fucking brilliant movie, and it costs a fortune to pull off properly, and they do it properly, but no one goes to see it. And this really never stood a chance of being mainstream. They tried to sell it as mainstream by flashing the fact that, hey, look, Zack Snyder, it's his 300 follow-up, and hey, you guys like 300. 300 made a lot of money, so you should go see it because it's him. And that didn't work out. People didn't go. I mean, you heard a lot of people saying, I thought it was going to be like X-Men. You know?
You know, it's interesting how in the last couple of years, particularly, that things have changed so much in terms of how big movies get released. It's used to be, I remember in the 90s especially, the early months, the spring, before May, June, July, would be the dumping ground.
It still is.
That nobody will want to see. It still is to a certain degree. But there's still lots of movies between now and May, between now and the summer, that people want to see. We've got Ice Age 3, people want to see that. We've got Monsters vs. Aliens in April, people want to see that.
Well, actually,
Nick Cage movie coming out next week.
Let's be fair, just to correct you real quickly, Ice Age 3 is coming out like 4th of July weekend. So.
Oh, is it? Oh,
yes.
Sorry, my mistake.
No, that's not, no problem. Go ahead.
There's that new Nick Cage movie, Knowing, coming out, which I guess will make some money and open at number one. So, you know, it's not like we can say, oh, Watchmen will hang in there because nothing else really opening around it. There's always something opening people want to see.
There's always something opening, but this is considered the dumping ground. It's like January to – I mean, yeah, you're right. There are exceptions, obviously, and people realize that the March release date's a good time to put a film out, as it happened with 300. Also happened with the Dawn of the Dead remake, and the Passion of the Christ came out around this time, and they did really well back in 2004. So, yeah, I mean, that in September. September, I've noticed, is the dumping ground, because summer just ends, and really it's not till around mid-October. October, they'll get some quality flicks in that month, but for the most part, it's September is the dumping ground as well.
Oh, by the way, I haven't told you this, Jamie.
Do you know
my favorite, most anticipated film of this year is the new Pixar film Up. Do you know when Up is coming out in the UK?
I'm hoping it's really soon, just so you can be happy. Aww.
Mid-October.
Wow, really? God damn.
Yeah.
I hate to gloat, but damn, I mean, like, that's bad, man. I feel
it
bad.
It is bad.
And you know what? You
it's
got Ratat-
really, really bad.
What's even worse is you got Ratatouille around that time also.
Yeah.
So it's just like, god damn.
It's a repeat of that. It's going to be months and months and months
of hearing how wonderful
like
it is.
You, my friend, saying, oh, Phil, you'll love it. It's wonderful.
We'll slip you the screener. Is that going in IMAX, by the way?
No.
See, why has there ever been a Pixar movie to go in IMAX? I'm wondering.
Nope.
Why not? You know, wouldn't that be like you've been wanting that yourself? You're just like, I don't know, man. Why haven't they, Jamie? God damn it.
They don't need to, I guess.
I don't know, but like, what movie?
It's
needs
in 3D. We know that Up is their first 3D movie, but I don't know.
How
that works. But as far as I know, it's not IMAX. But all I know is that I'm guessing we're to blame because they released WALL-E in the summer, but it got released at the exact same time as The Dark Knight and Mamma Mia, were the behemoths which crushed it.
Yeah, but
and WALL-E
kind
of came the movie that you see if the other two are sold out.
Yeah, but WALL-E still did really good in the UK.
It did. With, you know, it did really well because it was a great movie and people were surprised by how good it was. But still, I am telling you as an eyewitness, I've seen it. I saw the lines. For Dark Knight and Mamma Mia, both sold out, and people saying, "Oh well, we better see WALL-E instead." Got no choice now.
God.
So we get punished by this.
You get punished by that. Well, I mean, you never know. I mean, I'm curious to see how Up does. There's that theory that depending
on it comes out in late May, there, dude, you get to see it in late May.
No, I agree. I'm not arguing with that. I'm just saying I'm curious how it does box office wise, because there's that theory going around it's an interesting theory, which is like the opening weekends of these Pixar films are heavily dependent on the popularity of the previous movie. So you see something like, you know, everyone loved Finding Nemo. That's still the highest grossing one. So, you know, The Incredibles came out. The Incredibles had a huge opening weekend, and then that was a huge moneymaker, and then Cars was the next one, and even though that was still well-received, it was still the lowest received of all the Pixar films, and it had, you know, huge opening weekend. So then, you know, what came out after that? Ratatouille came out, and that had a low opening weekend compared to the other Pixar films, and that was because, you know, Cars wasn't as well received as the other films. So thus, even though everyone loved Ratatouille, so then WALL-E comes out and WALL-E has a better opening weekend than Ratatouille. So it's, you know, you get what I'm saying. So considering how much everyone loved WALL-E and how successful that was as well, you know, hey man, Up might have a huge opening weekend after all. Who knows?
I know. All I know, dude, is that you'll get Up, you'll get a short film before it. And chances are you'll get the teaser trailer for Toy Story 3.
Oh, it's like that would be nice.
Months.
That is, you know what, that's an excellent point because I forgot all about that. I forget how they do. Yeah, there you go. Now you're making me looking forward to it even more, man.
To be honest, it'll probably just be a logo trailer, so you better not get too excited about it.
I don't know. You never know that, though, dude. They'll put trailers in. Of course, granted, they're doing a Cars 2, so it's like, you know. I mean,
We love Cars, though.
I liked Cars a lot. I mean, yeah, I thought it was great, but it's just like, I don't know, man.
I have a theory about Cars 2, okay. Why they're doing it. Fact is, Cars, there's no beating around the bush. Cars was probably the least well-received, both by critics and by a mass audience, of all the Pixar films, even though because of the merchandise, they're rolling in an unbelievable amount of cash to this day.
Yeah.
The merchandise is still going strong on that movie. 3 years on, it's crazy. But for Pixar, for these artists, that's just not enough. You know, they spend years and years and years on these films and are like, damn, maybe we missed the ball slightly. Maybe we dropped the ball on Cars. We better do a sequel just to prove that we actually know how to tell a great story with Cars. So that's why they're doing it.
I don't know why they do it. My feeling on why they moved the release date, it was supposed to come out summer 2012. They switched it to summer 2011. My theory on that is simply the fact of the passing of late great Paul Newman. You know, because they were, you know, he was the one who actually leaked the details that hey guys, guess what? There's going to be a Cars sequel. My feeling is they probably switched release dates because hey, look, you know, let's get this out here sooner so we can honor Paul Newman's memory.
I wonder if Slinky Dog's going to be in Toy Story 3. How they're going to deal with that? Because Jim Varney passed away like right after the second one came out.
I think my guess on that is he'll be in the background. But he won't say anything, and if he does, they'll get some sound-alike actor. That's my guess. I don't know this, but he'll definitely be amongst the group because then you're gonna have people say, "Hey, where's Slinky Dog?"
He's dead.
Exactly.
Andy
sold him. Actually, hearing the plot details of what Toy Story 3 is gonna be about, it's like, goddamn, that's gonna be beautiful because that's gonna be good. It's gonna be a good one, man.
I hope so.
Well, I mean, you can, yeah, but you can figure out what it's going to, it's pretty easy to guess what it's about, I'd say.
I'd say, absolutely, yeah. And they've certainly taken long enough to do it, so yeah.
At least we're getting,
they rushed it.
There was that point where we almost didn't get one, but we almost got one from,
shit one.
I'm sorry?
Yes, we were going to get a shit one.
Well, we don't know if it was going to be a shit one, but it wasn't going to be from
going to be shit. There's no doubt.
I don't know, dude. I mean, that plot synopsis didn't sound bad. It's just the problem is it wasn't from our Pixar guys. So thus, anything by comparison,
it's kind of like hearing
that they're going to make a Terminator 3 without James Cameron. Oh, it's going to be shit because James Cameron isn't involved. And then T3 came out, and I like T3. Everyone has this revisionist history now that T3 was terrible, but it's like, it was enjoyable. And when that movie came out, people were like, yeah, it's not as good as T1 or 2. It's nowhere near it. But you know what? I'm surprised how much I liked it.
I don't know, man. I heard what the story was going to be. And it sounded garbage. Do you remember what it was going to be originally?
It was something about they have a recall of all the Buzz Lightyear toys.
Yeah.
So he gets sent back to the factory, and that's the furthest I know about. And they obviously go on an adventure
to
find
rescue him. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's like that aside, which is good they're not doing that anymore for this the third one. That's not the plot because it's like, all right, we've had one where one goes missing, everyone goes after him twice now. We should probably move on to something else. You know, it worked out. I had nothing, you know. Meh.
Yeah. Still can't wait.
Yeah, there you go, man. So what else is on docket? Oh, Bourne 4. Yeah, I know. I'm speaking of pointless sequels. Matt Damon pretty much is confirming to Parade Magazine that, you know, yeah, Bourne 4 is happening. We knew anyway, but it's good to hear him talk about it. It's still scheduled for a summer 2010 release, and I know some people are going to say, hey, well, shouldn't they be filming right now or getting geared up? Keep in mind, though, the Bourne movies are shot insanely fast, and, like, I remember seeing – must have been a documentary on the Bourne Ultimatum DVD, and they were, like, having – like, they were showing, like, when they were actually – the shooting dates, and, like, they were filming in, like, June of 2007, and Bourne Ultimatum came out at the end of July. You know? So those are fast shoots. Good God.
If you ever wonder why Bourne's always on the move in the those movies is because they don't actually stop for coffee and they don't turn the camera off. They're all running after him.
Well,
you
actually,
know, all the runners, all the cameramen, they're just running all the time.
Well, they have a dude running to catch up to him just to hand him his coffee. That's what they do. You know, I don't know if that's true or not. My feeling on Bourne 4 is, and we've said this before on the Now Live edition, so maybe someone hasn't heard this before, so it's new to you if you haven't heard it before. But my feeling is, the fear is that it's going to be kind of like what happened when you saw like Spider-Man 3, because like it's the same people making it now a third time, the same crew, same actors. Granted, this is now the fourth movie, but Paul Greengrass didn't come on until the second film, so now this is going to be Greengrass's third Bourne film, and it's going to be more of the shaky camera, you know, all confusion of what's going on, he's on the run real quick kind of shit, and that worked great for the first, it actually worked great for those movies, but I don't know, I tend to get the feeling like they're going to have to do something different this time, because that third film really brought it to a very proper finale, in my opinion, and they've got to come up with a really good excuse to come back. Granted, they do have a good excuse to come back because 3 made a lot of money, and there ain't no better reason than that, folks.
Well, I was never quite satisfied with the end of the third one, but you do bring up a great point. If you actually note, if you watch Bourne Ultimatum back, I mean, they deliberately homage beats. I mean, literally beats that happen in the first and second movie. There's another brutal fight with an assassin in a grimy apartment.
Yeah.
This time he teams up with what's her name? I never remember.
Julia Stiles.
Julia Stiles, thank you. She plays the Franca Potenti role, and she changes her hair, and you know, she teams up with him and goes on the run, and there's a car chase, and
they turn out to be lovers. You know, it's implied that they're lovers in a previous life.
And they have, and then he has a car chase against the super assassin, and again ends up with the other guy getting creamed in the car, and they crash, but he doesn't die. He's just sort of lying there with a bloody gash in his face, and again, it's literally a scene from the second one, but now in the third one. And the line, you know, Bourne has at the end before he jumps up, he says, "Look at what they make you give," a line which is from the first movie when Clive Owen said it to him. Literally beats from the first couple of movies that they've been, you know, using in the third one. So, yeah, this next one's going to have to be completely fresh. I will say this, though, Jamie.
Okay.
There is no doubt in my mind, if Greengrass says no, or if Dane says no, and chances are if Greengrass does eventually change his mind and say, no, I don't want to do it, then Damon will back out pretty quickly. I'm pretty sure of that.
But he said he's doing
it. That doesn't mean Universal won't do it. This is a franchise to them, so either they will do it with a new director and a new Bourne as a sequel, which might sound like blasphemy, but do it anyway, or they'll do a prequel. Before Bourne lost his memory, when he was a Secret Service agent, before Treadstone and all that. Maybe back from when he was in the womb, call it the Bourne Placenta. Or the
nice.
Blood, I'm sorry, that was disgusting. I'm
actually,
sorry,
that might apologize. that might be the title of this week's episode, is the Bourne Placenta.
I'm kind of happy about that.
That's a great title, the Bourne
Placenta. Alright, hang up, I got something to write here, let's write a treatment right now.
Like he does kung fu within the womb. that's mean.
You get the title, and then, you know, you suddenly just hear this woman's heaving bosom, and you know, that the doctor, this is not a drill, soldier. Just a freaking baby out the womb.
Speaking of, I haven't said this out loud to anybody. I'm curious, though, to get Phil's opinion. Speaking of, you know, Bourne and the similar, you know, genre of films. I'm surprised we haven't heard any definitive Bond news. Like, really, I mean, we've heard rumors. There was a story about Danny Boyle from last week that I don't remember. We might have covered. I don't remember. I think we didn't? Okay. So, I mean, that was shot down, though, very quickly. I mean, it does make you wonder, like, wow, where's fucking Bond? Like, you know, they had said 2011. I don't believe it. I still don't. I think they're going to head for another November, December 2010 release. That's a guess on my part. Could be wrong. And if I am, hey, not the first time, nor will it be the last. But I'm surprised we haven't heard any news on it, man. It's just kind of like, oof, no writer news, nothing. Like, definitive.
I'm actually extremely encouraged by that. I think too often, you know, when you have a successful franchise, you hear too quickly. This is what we were saying about Batman 3. You hear too quickly after the movie comes out about the next one. All of a sudden, yes, we must rush. We must rush to get the next one out. We must do it right now because there's no time to waste. We can't let the public's appetite for the franchise just go away. We have to strike while the iron's hot. Strike right now. I hope we're not hearing anything because, you know, either they're taking a break or they're just working very, very quietly in secrecy, just taking a long, hard look at what the next one needs to be. And, you know, because, like I say, this is going back to what we were talking about at the start of the show. You know, if you do things quickly, you rush through things and to make a release date, you got people working overtime and stuff, that drives the cost up. Quantum of Solace was insanely expensive.
There you go, case
and,
point.
You know, even though this doesn't really, you know, mean much, if you actually count the running time of that movie against the amount of dollars spent, it doesn't even add up to $1 million per minute. It's like $2 million per minute. Well, not quite. It's like $1.5 million per minute. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I get your point. And it's a good, it's a very astute point.
Thank you very much.
I just, you know.
So it'd be nice if they could actually plan the next one and actually, God dare I say it, do it smaller scale. Make the next one for $100 million or $120, you know, and just make it just smaller scale. I mean, it doesn't need to be. I think Casino Royale proved you don't need to have an explosion every 10 minutes or every 5 minutes in the case of Quantum of Solace to make a great movie. In fact, I think people prefer something that they could get their teeth into.
That was what was great about Casino Royale. I mean, it felt like a discovery to people. Like, have you seen this new Bond movie? It's great. You know, that new guy's fantastic.
They actually talk. There's actually good dialogue.
There's actually an arc for the character for Bond, which is great about the second one. The second one, I think, I love the fact that they continued Bond's arc that was still left hanging at the end of Royale. You know, the problem, my kind of curiosity is, what do you give him to do now? Do you just put him on a mission where, all right, now I got to fight bad guys because I'm Bond and that's what I do? Or, you know, I mean, because we've resolved the issue of Vespa. What now? To be fair, though, at least we didn't get the original idea that Paul Haggis had in mind for Quantum, which was that Vesper had a kid. Oof, that would have been... Oh. Although, actually, if it wasn't Bond, if it was any other kind of character who wasn't James Bond, it probably would have been effective, actually. But the fact is, Bond doesn't need a kid. You know, fuck that shit.
No, you just don't do that.
You don't
You've
do
had
that.
Enough of children in these franchises. I swear to God, if that had happened, people will be saying, okay, what the hell is going on? Superman, Indiana Jones, James Bond. I do not want to live in this world anymore where all of my favorite icons from my childhood are getting friggin' children.
Yeah.
Didn't happen to Rambo.
That we know of. There is a fifth one supposedly coming out in the development.
No, don't fucking say that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, I mean, for all we know, that might be like, you know, Batman 3, you know. You're just a kid. I can't help you. You know, that'll be... There is always a chance of seeing Robin, although I'm actually not against the idea of Robin in a Batman 3, although I know it's sacrilege to a lot of people. Nolan could make it work, man. I mean, you know, I think he could.
You know, did you notice, just to get off topic for a second, how the, you know, people have been saying, yeah, they should do Robin, and it should be Gordon's son.
Ugh.
It's like...
Yeah, that's...
Yeah, that's what they're saying, though. It's like... Yeah. So, you know how people sometimes, you know, they see things that aren't really there?
Oh, yeah.
It's like... And, you know, that's like they're assuming because Gordon's son was a character in the movie, they're like laying the ground.
Well, I mean,
it's like the same in the first movie. Do you remember the scene in Batman Begins where he's, yeah, that little kid's climbing up the roof and that little kid bumps into him and it's like, yeah, oh, that's clearly going to be Robin.
Yeah.
Oh, and, you know,
that was a couple of years ago. That kid's about like 28, 29 by now. So, you know, I don't think that's going to happen.
I know. There was another one in the second one in Dark Knight. Was it? Oh yeah, the Lucius Fox and Bruce Wayne. They're talking about Batman's new suit.
Oh God, yes.
And it says, "Will this be good against dogs? Oh, should work fine against cats. Oh, Catwoman, she's gonna be in the third."
I didn't know anything. Like I didn't notice that line. I didn't pay attention to it. Like I saw it three times theatrically, and I didn't notice it till the third time I saw it. And I saw them like months apart. You know, so I was like, "What? What cat line? Oh, he says cats there. Oh." Whatever. It's just like, God, you're absolutely right, making something out of nothing. You know, whatever.
I'm surprised they didn't say something like, that big black guy on the ferry boat's going to be Bane in the next one. Like, just shut up.
If he was Bane, wouldn't he have, like, actually pressed the button? You know?
No, I know. No, like, oh, he was a good man, then he gets the stuff injected into him, and I don't know. You know what I'm saying.
I do what you should have done 10 minutes ago. That was funny seeing that scene with an audience full of people, knowing that that actor was more known for playing a prisoner on the television series Oz, so everyone sort of saw him as that character, and they thought he was about to rape the guy with a button, which was pretty funny seeing that with other people, you know, because I didn't catch that reference at all.
Do you know, I saw him in a movie from the 80s a couple of days ago. I don't know if you've ever seen or heard of this. It's not very well known. There was a movie John Candy made with Eugene Levy and Meg Ryan called Armed and Dangerous. From like 86 or something.
I remember that one.
No, it's not very well known, but
well, I mean,
he's in it.
None of John Candy's movies are very well known, with the exception of Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, Uncle Buck, and
Cool Runnings.
That's known to a degree. You're right, actually, that's known. And his cameo in Home Alone. Like, people forget, like, oh, that's right, John Candy was in Home Alone. That's kind of it, though.
If you say so.
What,
you're about to...
You disagree with me, or
how
dare you? No.
Hey, you were about to attack the well knownness of Cool Runnings, man. You were about to cross a fucking line.
I was wrong. You're right. People do know Cool Runnings, but it's like, that's it, man. Like, it's funny with comedians; they'll only remember the good shit. They forget like how many bad, like, you know, Candy's quality to shit ratio in terms of flicks he headlined. It's pretty, you know, not kind. But Planes, Trains, and Automobiles was so fantastic. You know,
Spaceball.
I'm sorry?
Spaceballs.
Oh, yeah, he was in Spaceballs. But I wouldn't, yeah, that was more of an ensemble piece. I wouldn't say he headlined it. But yeah, that's good.
God, we better move on to a new topic.
I love Spaceballs, man. Well, I mean, you know, we're not dogging it, man. Spaceballs! Oh, what the fuck's else on topic? I don't remember. I don't know anything else to talk about. No, let's see. Actually, we got an exclusive on, I say we, it was more like Peter, because that was his scoop, is some information on a new DC comic film in development called Suicide Squad, which is basically about a bunch of supervillains being trained to...
People who can't accept that John Candy's films weren't all popular.
That's exactly.
I'm biting it right
so
now.
So they're sent on a suicide mission to fight villains. Go ahead, let it out.
No. I know nothing about this.
No, you were. I don't know, man. I was just going along with the ride, talking about John Candy and Suicide Squad. The basic story that Peter got is that there's a. Essentially, they're already looking at a couple of actors for roles in the film Suicide Squad, which I didn't know. I mean, Justin Marks, the guy who wrote Street Fighter, The Legend of Chun-Li, it's that immortal classic. He's actually it's funny because he's written a lot of scripts that are in development, and yet that's the only one that's been made so far. But he's writing Suicide Squad right now. He's also writing 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, Captain Nemo for McG right now. And basically the scoop that Peter got is that the DC sort of assassin character known as Deadshot is supposed to be in the film, and they're eyeing Jason Statham to play him. Which, granted, I'm not a big Jason Statham fan. Like, it's a pretty big scoop, and, you know, but, Statham, eh.
Sounds good to me.
Are you a Jason Statham fan?
Well, no, not particularly, but I think he's, I've certainly seen, less talented people. The guy's got charisma. I'd love to see him play a comic book villain. That'd be great.
I don't know. I mean, like, this is the news we've heard so far that could change. I have faith in, you know, Pete's source on this one, though. What's interesting, though, is I always assume, someone else said this, I have to agree with them, I don't remember who said it, though, is that if Suicide Squad ends up happening, they envision that it will be kind of like what happened with Wanted, where all of the superhero, supervillain angle is cut out. So they completely change it from, you know, I can imagine that being the case with Suicide Squad, you know.
Oh, well.
You just don't, it feels like I don't have an opinion, whatever.
I can't, unfortunately, no. That's not right now.
Let's see, speaking on the DC Comics front, our buddies over at IESB got a scoop that things are yet again moving forward on a Wonder Woman movie. Now that there's no script, they're taking pitches. They've actually been taking pitches from writers for the last few weeks, but they're...
That's not true, Jamie. There are two scripts. They just don't want to use either.
Well, that's
of
the
them.
Point. Like, that's what Rob and them were saying. It's like they're meeting with new people now. It's like they're getting new pitches. They actually hired a... It was Josh Whedon, of course, rather infamously was attached to it, and then two writers wrote a spec script that was set during... I think they had a Wonder Woman script that was set during World War II that Warner Brothers bought, and then they decided not to use it, but they continued working with those two young writers to have them do a new version of Wonder Woman. Well, apparently they're off it now, and they're taking pitches, and it's moving forward, and they're talking about getting it ready. My guess is if we do see a Wonder Woman movie, it's looking at a spring release. Like, this is the kind of movie one would put out during March or April. This is not a summer movie or a Christmas movie. Because Wonder Woman, you know, the only thing people know about Wonder Woman is basically the old Linda Carter TV show. And I still don't even really, you know, I don't even know if a studio is still willing to even make a Wonder Woman movie. That one's just a question mark. Maybe they will, but I think certain characters are definites to get made into films and amongst the DC characters. Like, you know, I was talking to someone else, and we're talking about the lineup of comic book movies that DC's got lined up with Warner Brothers, and it's like there's a couple of them that seem definitely are going to happen, which is Batman 3, obviously, now Green Lanterns, obviously, Jonah Hex sounded pretty positively, and the Superman sequel, requel, whatever. You know, that's about it. I mean, I don't really see any – I don't see anything else happening right now. Like, maybe Suicide Squad, but at the moment, that sounds like all that's going to get made. Like, I know they're talking about Shazam – The Legend of Captain Marvel, which I don't think that'll ever happen.
They're not going to make that Supermax movie then?
Yeah, I don't think they're going to make Supermax. That's a script where it sounds like if they were going to make it, they would have made it right after Dark Knight exploded, because David Goyer was brought in to supervise the script, and that would have made perfect sense to churn it out by then. They didn't. I don't think that'll happen. Granted, I could be wrong on all this, folks, so we'll see. We'll see. Any thoughts?
You know, apparently... that Wonder Woman animated film that just came out on DVD, apparently that's really good. I've heard nothing but good things about it.
I still haven't seen the Justice League The New Frontier movie.
Oh, so you have to. You've got to give that
a
go.
I am so far behind on these flicks. I tried to watch the Superman Doomsday DVD. Some of my best friend Chip bought it for me for Christmas, and it was so bad I didn't even finish it. That's how bad it was.
Really? You didn't like that?
I hated it. It was awful. Oh, my God.
I thought it was okay. It wasn't great, but
I didn't ask you, Phil. No.
Oh, yes. Well, that's true. That's very true. I don't understand why Wonder Woman is such a tough nut to crack. I don't get it at all. Why this is so hard
rephrase
to
that.
Make this movie.
You might want to rephrase that line.
Well...
I was joking. I'm assuming you caught what line I was referring to.
Yes, okay. I know.
I'm making sure.
You silly, immature fool.
Indeed.
I understand that it seems to be like video game movies. There seems to be this unwritten rule that all female superhero movies where it's about a female superhero headlining it suck. What have we had? Let's recap. We've had Catwoman, we've had Elektra, we've had Supergirl. I suppose you could throw in Lara Croft in there.
Yeah, which, you know, it's funny you bring that up real quickly. You know, now that the Street Fighter movie bombed, you know, it makes you wonder, well, do you think they'll still make the Lara Croft movie, the reboot? My guess is no. You know.
Actually, what was on my mind was, is Kristen Kreuk going to run back to Smallville? That was what I was first thinking.
Oh, yeah, she was on Smallville, wasn't she? She played Lana Lang, I think.
She was only Lana Lang. It's a small name for Mentesco.
I've only seen, I'm not a Smallville person. I got nothing against it. I sat through two or three episodes. It wasn't my thing. I was like, whatever. Moving on. You know, yeah.
Fair enough. Suppose I should speak to Peter about that. Or Sean.
Sure. Or Rob Hunter. He's the other guy working up here so far. You know, we've got a good crew working on right now. Think McFly. I think it's fun. It's fun. I must say, I love doing this, man. This is awesome. I love doing the podcast with you. I love writing articles and bullshitting with Peter and Sean and Rob Hunter. Not as much as with Rob. And that's just, I don't know why. I just don't talk to him as much. It's not, no bad reasons. It's just, you know the way it is. Let's see, what else is going on? Oh, yeah, you know what? Speaking of shit I don't want to hear about, Phil, seriously, like, how many more times can we hear stories about Keira Knightley saying, I'm done with Pirates of the Caribbean? We've heard
always hear it one more time.
We've heard that story so many times now. Like, we've been hearing about Keira Knightley talking about how she's not doing a Pirates 4 ever since Pirates 3 came out. Like, if you remember this, they were doing press for Pirates 3, and she said, I'm done with this franchise. If they do a fourth one, I'm done. I got to do my period pieces where, you know, I play some historical figure who defined, you know, what man considered acceptable, blah, blah, blah. You know, whatever.
Well, look, here's the thing. I actually do have a thought on this.
Okay.
Just one thought. Has nothing to do with Pirates 4. I mean, like you say, it's not news at all. But we're all guilty of this. We have to remember something. When, you know, a character, when an actor plays a part that is so well known that they become identified with that character, when all of a sudden things turn to shit, when, you know, the film's bad, the character's bad, they have bad lines, or... And I will say this in the case of Pirates 2 and 3, the actor themselves plays the part badly. Now, it was a horribly written role, Keira Knightley's part in Pirates 2 and 3, but she was bad in it as well.
So was Orlando Bloom.
But the fact is, and absolutely, a lot of characters actually, but the problem is, of course, that, and we're all guilty of this, when that happens, we blame the actor. Usually, we don't blame the writing, we blame the actor and them alone. Same thing with, you know, Dunst in Spider-Man is the poster child for that. I've seen it so much. Everybody, you know, says these really, really horrible things about Kirsten Dunst, and never once do I actually hear the writing mentioned. It's always just, they're always just blaming her. They're not saying, oh, Mary Jane would never do that. They're always saying, it's Dunst fucking it up. It's not true. You know, she's just doing what's on the page. Yes, she was wrong for the role, but yeah, she's just doing what's on the page. It's the same thing with, well, I didn't think she was fine. I thought she was bad in
three. She was terrible in the third one, but like in the first two, I thought she was quite fine. It's the problem is her arc.
She just wasn't Mary Jane. She just wasn't the firecracker Mary Jane
that
we all
were. Well, I mean, yeah, but they did moderations with all the characters. I mean, like, Flash Thompson was absolutely not in any of the films except for the first one, albeit briefly. That didn't bother me, though. I was like, eh, no big deal. It's film and film and the written medium are two different in this case, comic books. They're two different things. The wisecracks were gone. You know, there's a lot of things they changed from the comic books. For the better.
In Keira Knightley's case, I mean, I think, bless her, she was really young when she took this on. And, you know, and she fell into the same trap that a lot of people do in her situation. Probably the same trap I'd fall into. She did Pirates. It was a huge hit. All of a sudden, everybody knew who she was. And she thought, holy shit, not only can I actually get out there and use my name to make some movies that I want to make, I can also make a lot of money by doing Pirates 2 or 3 and signing on to them. Fantastic. I'll do that. Work with the same people again. What could go wrong? Turns out everything could go wrong. And she probably had no idea things could turn out the way that they turned out, and that the Pirates 2 and 3 would be so bad and so reviled that she'd end up, it would actually hurt her reputation slightly and sully her name. Luckily, she managed to do, luckily,
I don't think it
if
has.
She hadn't done Atonement, then, you know, who knows what
Pride
she'd
and Prejudice.
Be.
You know, she did
exactly, but luckily she actually did some other movies. Some people make the mistake of just doing, you know, do Pirates 2 and 3 and then sit back and wait for the phone to ring.
And that's Orlando Bloom's problem, essentially.
Exactly.
You basically just described Orlando Bloom, and that dude isn't done. I mean, like, seriously, that was the last high-profile flick that motherfucker did. Again, I'm not calling motherfucker as in, like, in a derogatory sense, as in guys, like that dude. That motherfucker, you know, he hasn't done anything since that really worth a damn.
Well, to be fair, he did Troy and Kingdom of Heaven before Pirates 2
but
and
this
3.
Is
it's just that they didn't work out.
Yeah, I mean, but, you know, it's just like he was getting so many offers after that because he had this sort of onslaught of all these films. I mean, he had the Lord of the Rings, Fellowship of the Ring, and Black Hawk Down came out in the same month. Both of them were huge money makers, obviously Lord of the Rings more than the other one. And he gets all these film offers, and he takes most of them. And now he's just doing nothing. Granted, he's made so much money, he can afford to do that, but... Man, talk about a dude who's disappeared. You know, he really has disappeared from the public eye.
He should play a superhero. What else has he got to lose? He should play one of these people, like a Flash or Green Arrow or something.
Well, you know, don't say that because then, like, Martin Campbell will cast him in fucking, you know, Green Lantern.
No, he'll cast Chris O'Donnell.
They're oh, you love Chris O'Donnell. You really do. Can't wait to see you meet him one day.
I'm sure he's a great guy. I'm sure
they're all great guys. There's only a couple of them that I think are genuine douches. I mean, most of these people are nice cats and shit. You know, it's like anybody else. Just, you know, don't be a fucking fanboy in front of them, and they'll probably be like, "Hey, what's up?" You know. I'm assuming that. I have no idea. I've never met any of these people, you know.
But in Keira Knightley's case, it's just, I mean, it's, you know, she doesn't, nothing good will come of doing Pirates 4. It will only hurt her reputation more.
Well, I mean, you know, then it brings to the story about, like, Russell Brand. Now he's saying, like, well, you know, I got, like, 8 other projects doing, I'm working on, so it's a possibility, but... you know, I might not do it. I'm like, dude, what are you kidding? Like, 8 projects? Like, how many of those think are going to really happen? Like, he's got a flick called, what was it, Call Me Greek or something. It's basically a spinoff of his of his character from Forgetting Sarah Marshall. I don't know if you saw that film.
No, I didn't.
It's a great movie, but, you
I'm
know.
I'm sure it is. But him, look, I don't mean to be impolite.
That's
but
right, actually.
I see a picture of
you
him,
see him.
I want to.
That's right. Actually, this should be said. You see him from a different perspective than I do because you've known him a lot more than I have. And you, go ahead.
Actually, not particularly. I know of him. You know, I've heard people, everybody talking about him, but I've never really seen his work. Every time I see him, either footage or a picture, I want to take a bath. He's filthy, and sorry, that's just the way I feel about it, really. There are some people who look so disheveled that I really feel unclean just looking at them. I'd either get a haircut or shave, or both, sir, please. Oh, except you can't now because that's part of your image.
That's something.
I'm sure he's a great guy. I'm just saying.
No, it doesn't bother me.
Blame me if people want to. That's fine.
Hey, man, that's fine by me. It doesn't bother me one bit. I just, you know, never thought of it that way.
Well, now I've given you something to think about.
Well, thank God. I guess that's it. I can't think of anything else to talk about. Are you got anything else, man?
I've got to write the Bourne placenta. Stop wasting my time.
Of course, you know. I guess if that is it, folks, this has been Movie Moan with Mr. Phil G, who really hates Russell Brand, as you can tell, and it has a thing for placentas, which I don't understand. It's just, hey, we all have our things. And Jamie Williams, the only normal person who's working for this website right now. Phil's pissed at me now. He's not saying anything. You there?
I can't write this thing. It's just like, what do you do with a character that can't speak? I mean, he's come out of the womb, and now I don't know where to go.
No,
next.
What you do is you do it like Wall-E. You just describe the actions and shit.
Oh, right. Okay. Assassin nurse picks up the baby, throws it out a window, and it starts running.
My visual image was like, you know, they're about to deliver the baby. Like, so the woman's like, you know, her legs are up and they're held up, and the doctor's looking in, and he's about to pull the kid out, and all of a sudden, like, this bullet comes out and shoots the doctor dead. And then a kid runs out. That's my idea.
Oh, God. Oh, see, now I've got to give you a co-writing credit, you fucking asshole. I wanted all the glory. Look, we'll see you next week, folks. I'll have a first draft by then, I promise.
Or at least an outline, at the very least. I mean, the first draft, that's pretty, you know, to be churning that one up pretty quick, yeah.
I'm Nick Meyer. I'm going to write this thing in 6 days.
Yeah, Justin Marks, actually.
Star Trek reference, folks. You won't understand that.
Actually, Justin Marks, he apparently writes pretty quick. That's why he's able to, like, juggle, like, 18 projects, even though most of them haven't been made yet. You know, we'll see.
Oh, well. Bye, everyone.
Bye.